a weak solidarity bricky team listener, when as lovers of, as devotees of, the greatest little economic order of them all, what excitement that end of year time again, when we can celebrate all things profit and profit and profit, as the True Blue Aussie Capitalist Review announces its annual Capitalist of the Year Award. Well, it calls it Business Person of the Year, won a year ago so worthily, so wonderfully deserved by our filthiest rich of the filthy rich, Gina. Well, this year, number one is a bloke called Mike Durrell, real name, whom I must confess I'd never heard of till he won it, showing how ignorant I am. Mike left True Blue Aussie some years ago to run Macquarie Bank's US of the UN of the US of the world's infrastructure division, and the rest is history. His own global infrastructure behemoth, a private $225 million island off Florida, a New York mansion, that's his official residence, still finding time to skip back to True Blue Aussie a couple of times a year. But one criticism of the Capitalist Review, we would have to take issue with its headline. Timing is everything for infrastructure, and here's the take issue bit, for infrastructure, shark. Shark? Shameful. How dare they? Doubtless a warm, caring, loves all little fishies, shark. But also awarded, and this warms the cockles of, a great friend and supporter of the week that was, yes, Woodside with Profits' very own Meg O'Neill before Profits. Meg, it tells us, has played an enduring role through the decades-long energy transition. Yes, Meg knows we can't rush these things. Investing in gas, 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 and oil, 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 all over the world to frank her commitment to the decades-long transition. It is clear, the Capitalist Review writes, that Colorado raised O'Neill before Profits is prepared to act on her convictions. Hear, hear. And as we know, she has plenty of those. What a wonderful capitalist world, a True Blue Aussie filthy rich resident in the US of, a US of filthy rich right here in True Blue Aussie. Oh, and the report admired her courage, which makes us ponder on how a few long-haired, commie, greenie, wooden-working and iron environmentalists sitting in vehicles on her street could have so terrified her. Poor, courageous, frightened Meg. Well, her home is sacrosanct. These lawless protesters have no right to invade her space, unlike Meg and the resource behemoths lawfully invading. No, that's too emotive. Their lawful right to utilise, exploit for the common good the terra nullius non-land, non-people's land and sacred sites and the environment generally. No comparison. On which we'd think that after 237 years of playing host to the boat people, the terra nullius non-land, non-people would learn their place in our world. Well, more non-place, although the Centre for Racial Profiling feels they do know their place, being searched, questioned, suspected, harassed, abused by the Keeping Us All Safe, a constabulary for clearly suspicious behaviour like existing. How can non-people exist? But in fairness, our friendly police don't just protect us from terra nullius non-land non-people. They also search, question, suspect, harass and abuse African, Pacific Island and Middle Eastern communities, also suspected of existing. So how can they be accused of racial profiling? Like the Northern True Blue Aussie government, which does so much for terra nullius non-land non-people, like jail 10-year-olds, provide non-land non-people with pepper spray, and increase the rents on dilapidated housing in remote communities by up to 200%. And talk about the law and the non-people being irrational. They took it to court, which ruled the increase illegal. Worse, the government, which does so much for these non-people, has to consult them. It's getting out of hand. Now, on housing, we'd never have thought of that department, proof that Treasury officials are worth every cent of whatever they're worth. After deep research, they've fingered the solution to the so-called housing crisis. supply is the key, they analysed. Gee, Treasury, we'd never have thought of that. Although being able to afford the supplied could also play a bit of a role in the solution, which could be assisted by Treasury convincing governments they could play a key role in solving the affordability problem by building and owning the increased supply. Thought quite excitedly there may have been a step in that direction a couple of days ago. Mentioned a couple of weeks ago that the speaker from that commie front, the True Blue Aussie Institute, told the huge meeting opposing demolishing and privatising perfectly good public housing, said the federal government does still build public housing. It builds housing for True Blue Aussie and US OB trained killers. So the excitement, step in. Headline leapt out at me. Prime defence land sites targeted to boost housing and fire budget. Wasn't sure we needed a budget for fire, just buy a box of matches, but misread it. No, they don't plan to use all that trained killer public housing for non-trained killer public housing, increasing the non-trained killer supply. They plan to flog trained killer sites in prime real estate locations, raising billions to fire up, that's where the fire bit came in, fire up the train killer budget stretched by the onomatopoeic Forker's demands. Oh dear, did I get it wrong. And the publicly owned land and train killer housing will free up land for high density housing, allowing developers to make a killing, but not doing a hell of a lot for that affordability problem. The great resource behemoths, it seems, are also facing an affordability problem, as they are forced reluctantly to slash spending on non-polluting so they can afford polluting. In that capitalist review hagiography of Meg O'Neill before profits, for instance, it says her dragging her feet on decarbonisation efforts has been welcomed by investors, investing on carbonisation for good reason, so they can transition from carbonisation, and great friend of the non-land, non-people, Rio Tinto the Profits, announced Thursday it will cut decarbonisation spending by $6 billion to cut costs. While the big Aussie, of which we are so proud, BHP, for bloody huge profits, bloody huge polluter, also announced it was postponing plans to cut pollution. See, when it comes to Mother Earth or investors' profits, it's a no-brainer. One of the few honest things, perhaps the only honest thing, USR big Supremo Donald Trump or the poor has done, is call the department for what it is. The Department of War, of trained killing, of being offensive. And apart from Donald himself, it's hard to think of anyone more offensive than his Secretary of War, of trained killing, of being offensive, his arch-conservative, shock-jockery, impeccable qualifications, Pete Hegg, kill 'em all. Although Pete explained survivors of the US OB bombing yet another Venezuelan fishing boat was down to the fog of war. The fog mostly between Pete's ears. And let slip the dogs of war, that this foul deed shall smell above the earth with carrion men groaning for burial. Foul deed indeed. But war, Pete? What war? Oh, the war for Venezuela's rich resources and Secretary for US of World State Rubio's desire to liberate evil Cuba. Expat True Blue Aussie Silk Jeffrey Robertson, asked whether murdering the survivors was a war crime, said, yes, but so was bombing the boat in the first place. Although Donald and Pete and senior US of trained killers assure us the mass murder of fisher people is legal, despite Pete also bemoaning the rules of trained killing are a barrier to US OB trained killers doing their job as they stroke he'd like. Like slaughter, destruction and genocide aren't enough? But then it's all justified because Donald so loathes drugs destroying the US OB. Although what he's got against fish, we've got no idea. So there must have been very, very extenuating circumstances for pardoning former Honduran corrupt, extreme conservative Supremo Hernandez out, who had been sentenced to 45 years for smuggling several hundred K of cocaine into the US of. Very, very extenuating circumstances. Or perhaps Donald doesn't realise cocaine is a drug. Wonder what he thought they were all snorting at his very, very close friend, Brackett's former, Jeffrey Epsleaze's orgies. And in an orgy of profits, companies owned by Donald Scion Donald Jr. have picked up at least $735 million, that's about a billion true Aussie, in Pete's Department of Train-Killing contracts, prompting most unfairly an ethics group to proffer, big supremos are expected to avoid even the appearance that they are using their office to financially benefit themselves or their family. How ignorant. A split infinitive. Oh, and how dare suggest Donald Wood fake news yet again. That US OB report into the Forecast 38 mil a day to train kill has apparently concluded it's in the US OB's train killer interests, reducing our Minister for Train Killing and Being Offensive Richard Malls the bad guys, he of the giant mind, to a bundle of trembling excitement. Well, of course, Trubler was he subsidising the US OB Merchants of Death war machine with billions of our hard-earned is in the US OB's interests. Pity it sure as hell is not in Trubler was his interests. Although Richard of the Giant Mind keeps telling us the socialists also conducted a report when first elected, when we thought they couldn't bow fast enough, low enough, servilely enough at the altar of our father country. Wonder when we'll see this mysterious report. Oh, and finally, if women want to work at Amazon poverty wages, want? Who'd want to? If it's the only job they can get, you can get, make sure your contraception works. Although poor Amazon poverty, last month the New Jersey attorney claimed this proud, caring employer discriminated against pregnant women. And just this week, right here in True Blue Aussie, in the biased Fair Work True Blue Aussie No Longer Work Choices Just Looks Like It con mission, a warehouse worker sacked, or sorry, sadly happened to be let go, after advising she was pregnant, was reinstated and awarded $15,000. $15,000. Imagine the dent that'll make in Amazon poverty wages coffers. The company argued it had merely put her shifts on hold. Permanently on hold. As former Big Supremo Malcolm Wage Freezer said, life wasn't meant to be easy for caring employers. Good morning.